Welcome to another Northwest Herald Football Podcast, sponsored by Buffalo Wild Wings. I'm Northwest Herald sports writer Joe Stevenson, along with sports writer Sean Hammond and sports editor Kyle Neighbors. And guys, our first week with the two big games with the four heavyweights of the FBC did not disappoint last week. Pretty good stuff.
It did not disappoint. We had a couple of good games at the top.
Yeah, Prairie Ridge holds off Cary Grove 7-6, and Kyle, you saw a magnificent game with Huntley coming back in the last minute and a half to nip Jacobs 30-27.
Yeah, it really couldn't have been a better start for us this week.
Yeah, so well, let's start with the game that I saw. Prairie Ridge, number one in 6A against Cary Grove, number four. I think they both showed last week they're deserving of those spots. It was just a tremendous defensive game, and I think you guys probably were looking at the score going, hey, what's going on? How come no more points are scored, right, if you saw the tweets?
Yeah, Cary Grove went up first, 6-0, right? And I was a little concerned with the way things were going in that first half for Prairie Ridge.
Yeah, when did Prairie Ridge score in that game?
Well, what happened was Prairie Ridge, you know, when you have an offense like that, and Samson Evans is now punting, okay? So Coach Chris Shrimp had all this confidence. They had a 4th and 7, and he went for it. That was a direct snap, and Samson just took off running, came up a yard short. So Cary Grove got a short field, got it on the 39, went in with Max Skoll running most of the plays, and went in and punched it in, and then unfortunately for the Trojans, missed the extra point. It was just a tad wide right. But you know, Prairie Ridge, championship team that it is, came right back and drove. It was like 80 plus yards and went down and scored and then made the extra point. So all the scoring was right there in the second quarter in about a span of about 6 minutes.
If Samson Evans is lining up for punts, I'm never going to be surprised when it's a fake.
Oh, no, kidding.
Like, you've got to be ready for that every single time.
That's got to be a nice element for them, right? Yeah, to have him back there. But I was just it was a great defensive game. And I don't think you have to see a lot of points to appreciate great football. Both teams were just fantastic defensively. And what Coach Shrimp said afterwards, and I'm sure Brad Seberg would agree, you know, both of them running the option – makes it a little easier for them to stop each other. They know what to do. And I went back and looked at last year. Last year wasn't a high offensive output. Last year, the opener, 26-14, Prairie Ridge won. That was the lowest score for both of those teams all season in that game. So I'm sure this is probably going to be the lowest score, 7-6, that we'll see from those two.
Yeah, I mean, when you have an entire summer to prepare against your arch rival, you're playing the same scheme. It's not really a surprise to see it low scoring. You know, we talked about it a little bit yesterday on our state podcast with Steve Soucy. I'm still a little bit confused with how exactly to react to that. Like, obviously, we know they're both two really good teams, but I guess it is a little concerning to me to see Prairie originally score one touchdown.
Yeah, and the Wolves probably, you know, well, I won't say they should, but they could have had a couple more. There was a pass to Joe Perhatz who fell across the goal line in the first quarter that got called back for a hold. And then early in the second half, they drove down to the 2 on 4th down. Sampson rolled out and threw to Perhatz in the end of the end zone. He came down with it, but he was just out of bounds. So there could have been a couple more touchdowns there. But yeah, I really got to hand it to Cary Grove, you know, to slow down an offense like that. 230, it was like 238 total yards. That's a great effort against that offense.
And we were talking about this the other day too, how it's kind of funny how you look at Samson Evans' game and what did he have, 100-something rushing yards?
Yes, 115, I think.
And it's like, that's not a great game for him. Like, you know, they slowed him down, but, you know, Samson Evans' level is, 115 yards isn't that much for him.
Right, exactly. Yeah, he kind of raised the bar on everything that you see. So, well, Kyle, what about the game that you saw? We all thought that was going to probably be the best game of the week, and it looks like it sure was.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about it was 35-0 a season ago when Huntley played Jacobs with the Red Raiders running away with the game. And these two teams went back and forth. Game really changed on a punt return by Eric Mooney that, oddly enough, or fortuitously enough, that there had actually been a personal foul on Jacobs during the punt, and Eric Mooney had a fair catch on it. Well, they determined it, the personal foul occurred before the ball was in the air, so it actually came back, and they had Jacobs had a re-kick. Eric Mooney takes it to the house, gets him within actually, I think it may have given him the lead at that point. I can't remember. I'm blanking out. But it really –
I think that's right. It was in the fourth quarter. They took the lead, then Jacobs took it back.
Then Jacobs took it back with about a minute and a half left. And then Eric Mooney goes right down the field, gets a couple pass interference calls that two scenarios on those plays where if there wasn't pass interference, they may have scored on both of them. And then Eric Mooney sticks it in the end zone in the final seconds of the game. It was quite a comeback and quite a game from him.
I was just thinking about Eric Mooney and a late play a few years ago, 2013, before you guys were here. His brother Brett Mooney was quarterback at Jacobs. He was our player of the year that year. I remember a game that was back and forth like that with Kerry Grove and Jacobs. Kerry Grove scored and left just enough time for Brett Mooney to bring Jacobs down the field and score in the south end zone with just a few seconds left. That was a great finish. I'm thinking the Mooney family likes Jacobs Athletic Field and those late finishes.
Yeah, it was a heck of a finish. And, you know, I think we got to give a lot of credit to Huntley's offensive line. There were a lot of questions about that unit coming in. And they actually did struggle a little bit in the first half. They gave up a couple sacks. Eric Shoot was in the backfield for Jacobs a lot. Didn't get any sacks, but he was giving Mooney hell for most of the after or most of the evening. But they made the adjustments. They got better as the game went on, and by the fourth quarter, they looked like a unit that's going to be pretty good.
Kyle, I'm curious. You know, you being at this game and seeing these two teams play. You know, we saw what Jacobs did last year, where they were pass heavy beginning of the year, they were run heavy at the end of the year. What did they look like on offense?
You know, they used multiple backs, a lot of stacked backfield, hiding the ball really well, a lot of power run. Lauren Strickland looked very good again. I'm blanking out on a couple kids that I didn't know a lot about of going into the game that also had some carries in that. Looked really, really good, though. And I think the wild card was Anthony Wilson, though. The kid scored two touchdowns running the ball. Huntley linebacker Charlie Zorno, which, sorry, Charlie, I didn't get to use you in the story this week, but I talked with him after the game, and he talked about how surprised he was with Wilson's speed. There were several times he was able to break away and make plays, and then they only passed the ball nine times, but I think he completed five of them for 123 yards. There's a lot of good play action, and when you hide the ball like that, it's going to be effective. And Huntley's defense definitely struggled to contain Jacobs' offense.
Buffalo Wild Wings in Algonquin and Crystal Lake are proud sponsors of today's podcast. And here's some information you can earn loyalty points at B-Dubs. Just sign up for Blazing Rewards program and start earning points on every purchase you make. And right now, you can earn an extra point by eating items like the Cali Chicken Sandwich, Fiesta Pork Tacos, and more. Can't make it to B-Dubs? Order online for easy pickup. Buffalo Wild Wings in Algonquin on Randall Road or in Crystal Lake on Route 14 across from Sam's Club. Well, Sean, another big FVC game last week was McHenry, and we were interested to see what the Warriors would look like in year two under Coach Nat Zunkel, and boy, they came out strong, 50-13 over Crystal Lake South. We were all thinking that game might be a little closer than that.
Yeah, we were talking about this as being a potentially close game, and 50-13 in McHenry's favor. McHenry came out and they stopped South on South's. I think South had the ball to start the game. They stopped him, got a punt, and McHenry drove down and scored, and it was pretty much all McHenry after that. Braden Crowley, the wide receiver at McHenry, had a really good game. Three touchdowns. Two were receiving, one rushing on a sweep play from about the two-yard line. I think he finished with about 40 rushing yards and 56 receiving. Really good game for Braden. And quarterback Patrick Bryce looked really good, too. He was a lot – I saw him play a little bit last year in towards the end of games and blowout games and stuff, but I wasn't really sure what to expect from him. He was a lot more mobile than I thought he would be. He could really move around when he didn't have an option open, you know, when he was trying to find a receiver and couldn't, he was able to pick up some yards with his legs. And I guess maybe that should not come as a surprise. He's a basketball player. You know, he's an athletic kid. And South really struggled offensively, especially in the first quarter. They had one good drive in the second quarter where they scored, but they really struggled on offense throughout the game.
Yeah, Bryce had 78 yards rushing, threw for 151. He actually did get a little playing time at quarterback. I think he played tight end last year for them quite a bit and was their backup and did get, like you say, he got some snaps last year.
Yeah,
so it's not
I definitely
new.
Saw him play, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, guys, I'm confused. Is McHenry a lot better than I realize, or is Crystal Lake South a lot worse?
I think it might be a little bit of a combination of both. It's hard to say a lot for anything. I was expecting a little bit more out of Crystal Lake South, you know, especially on offense where they have that big offensive line. They struggled running the ball, especially, like I said, in the first quarter. But McHenry looked really good, too. You know, Braden Crowley's a weapon, and, you know, he was really impressive. It was hard not to notice him out there. And, you know, South coach Rob Fontana said that, too. Like, man, they got some good athletes over there.
Yeah, I expected them to score points. I didn't expect them to hold Crystal Lake South 13 points. I thought that offensive line would be able to open up some holes.
Yeah, Coach Fontana, that was another thing that he said. You know, they got to clean some stuff up, and they realize that. And I'm sure that's what they'll be trying to do as they look towards Central this week.
I think another surprise this week was not who won down at Plano, but that Johnsburg steamrolled Plano 70-0. I think they were listening to Blue Oyster Cult on the way down there, Kyle. They did not fear the Reaper.
No, they certainly didn't. And listen, I knew Plano had lost a lot to graduation, but Johnsburg also, 10 of 11 on offense, new starters. And to go down there on the road and hang 70 points on a team, that's really impressive. I think we may have underestimated Johnsburg in this one.
Yeah, you score 70 points on anybody. That's really impressive, especially a team that was in the playoffs a year ago, you know.
Yeah, it is. It's good stuff. Adam Jaco, 5 touchdown passes, I believe. Jack Cagle had a nice game, rush for about 130 yards.
5 touchdown passes. That's not a bad debut as a quarterback,
it's,
huh?
It's not.
Plus extra points. Don't forget about those.
Yeah, he's out there doing everything. So some other games to talk about from the week. Hampshire opens with a 28-14 victory over Benny Crown. Drew Dalby in his quarterback debut with 4 touchdown passes. And kind of a little bit of a sad note for the Whippers, their best lineman, Jake Dedevo, probably going to miss the season. He may get back at the end. He was diagnosed with mono. And I know when I talked to Coach Brazil last week, he was just sick about it because here's a kid that was really working hard and has a chance to play at a pretty high level in college, was getting some Division II, he said Division I AA looks, and now he's going to miss probably his whole senior season.
Yeah, that's really unfortunate timing. And Jake's a big kid. You know, he's definitely, you know, maybe a little bit overlooked with all the big kids, big linemen in the FEC. But, you know, he's going to be missed for Hampshire.
Yeah, I think they gave him the game ball. I think the coach said they were trying to Skype with him. He was in the hospital, and they weren't getting very good phone reception out at Hampshire the other night. They were trying to give him the game ball. But, our best thoughts go out to Jake and for what he's going through right now. And then Crystal Lake Central, 37, Grant 21, big night for Jake Staples.
Yeah, Jake Staples, 205 rushing yards, 166 passing, touchdown each rushing and passing. You know, that's a really good game for a returning starter. And, it looked like they handled Grant, you know, pretty well.
I think the first time he touched the ball from scrimmage, he went 80 yards, didn't he? I think it was
11-36
in the first quarter. So I think, yeah. Winnebago holds off Marengo 30-22, but you know, the Indians, they're both Indians, I have to say. Marengo, you know, kept fighting back in that game and still had a chance at the end.
Yeah, they fell behind early, and you know, it's hard to dig out of a hole, but they did make a game of it, and you know, that's a positive that they can look at.
Yes, Oregon over Harvard 13-7, and you know, I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, I thought, talking to Coach Saylor and some of the players, that Harvard would be better, and it was. The Hornets were better. They didn't have a close game like that last year where they were in a game until the
no,
end?
No, they didn't. They need to score some points, though. You know, that was one of the things that really hurt them last year. And, you know, seven's not a great showing, but, you know,
well,
it was a close game.
I think if I remember right, they turned the ball over five times in that game. So, they had opportunities, it sounds like. When you're a team that's trying to build, you can't commit that type of turnover.
Right. That said, I think that's still, regardless of the loss, I think that's a positive step for them. The problem is I think their schedule is going to continue to get tougher.
It definitely is a positive step.
Richmond Burton opens with a 27-14 win over Wakanda. A big night for Mike Kaufman, who we've been hearing good things about.
Yeah, Mike Kaufman did have a big night. 170 rushing yards, two touchdowns. Good opening win for Richmond Burton, and you know we'll see what they do from here.
Yeah, Joe, you liked Richmond Burton as a possible team to win the KRC this year.
I did.
Come out and beat a playoff team week one is not a bad way to start.
It's not, and I think Sean's got a nice game on his docket for next week when Richmond and Johnsburg play. That should be.
Yeah, that one's coming up week three.
Yeah. Woodstock, that game gets moved to Larrydale Field at Woodstock, so the Streaks have a nice – don't have to make a trip at all. Gary Westside comes up and takes a 41-6 loss, so a good start for the Streaks.
Yeah, here they are thinking on, you know, Wednesday, Thursday that they got to drive to Gary, Indiana. surprise.
Yeah.
Home game. That's probably nice. Yeah, big win for Woodstock.
Wastosha Central trips up Woodstock North 28-20. And the name escapes me, Jaden Jackson. His name escapes me right now. The Wastosha Central quarterback was terrific the other night. He only had a couple incompletions and was pretty tough. So the Thunder coming up short there. Marion Central 33, Oak Creek 25. So it's kind of a tough opener, but a good win for the Hurricanes.
Definitely wasn't an easy game, an 8-point victory, but, you know, huge game from Gavin Scott. 234 yards rushing, three touchdowns, another 137 through the air.
Yeah, the Hurricanes really got off to a slow start in that one, but it was good to see Gavin Scott kind of take control of that game.
And then in eight-man football on Saturday, Alden Hebron travels up to Madison Abundant Life / San Ambrose. It's got one of the longest names that you've ever seen for a high school. Maybe it's a co-op, loses 54-40, which you had looked it up last week, Sean. Abundant Life last year was 9-0, so I don't think that's too bad of a loss for Hebron to go up and, you know, a team that's played eight man before and, you know, to lose by 14 doesn't seem too bad.
I would agree with that. And, you know, we talk about, you know, not knowing what to expect. And when we talk about certain teams, as far as Alden Hebron moving to eight-man, you know, we didn't know what to expect from them. That's totally different, you know, all-new playbook and everything. 14-point loss, that's not bad, considering that they were playing a team that went undefeated last year. Also, Justin Steele had four touchdowns in that game.
Hebron. Very good. So you want to make some picks for this week, guys?
Absolutely. Let's
okay,
do it.
So let's start with Marion Central going up to Columbus, Wisconsin. And I believe that's a school, Sean, that you had done some research, said they were really good, but they were really small, pretty small enrollment.
Yeah, I forget now what their record was last season. I do know that they're off to an 0-2 start, and their enrollment is in the 300s.
Yeah.
So, that being said, I'm going to pick Marion.
Yeah, I think we saw enough from Marion last week to feel confident in them.
I'm taking Marion, too. Richmond Burton at Sandwich.
I wouldn't take Sandwich if you gave me 40 points. any team that loses to Lyle automatically gets crossed off my list of potential winning teams. So I'm taking Richmond Burton with the running clock.
Okay.
I'm going to take Richmond Burton, too.
I will, too. Marengo and Elmwood Park. This one's kind of interesting. They played last year. Marengo won big last year.
Elmwood Park is coming off a win over St. Joseph. I'm going to go with Marengo.
Yeah, I really don't know what to make of this game. Elmwood Park does beat a playoff team last year, a small school at that, but it is obviously progress. I really don't know what to think of Marengo right now. I think based on size alone that they're going to win this game, so I'm going to take them. But I don't know what to make of Marengo.
Yeah, it looked like Travis Knack had a pretty nice opener at quarterback last week for Marengo, and Oliver Meridian rushed for 85 yards. I'll take the Indians in this one as well. This looks like a pretty good ball game. Rochelle, a ranked team in 5A, right? Coming to Johnsburg, which is ranked in 4A.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really good measuring stick for Johnsburg. I don't think we got to see an accurate representation of how good this team is. I mean, I'm not taking anything away from a 70-0 victory, but with the amount Plano lost last year, I think a game against a state-ranked team will show just where Johnsburg is if they're able to be in that upper tier of 4A again, or if they're going to be more what we expected, like a 6- or 7-win team.
Yeah, this will be a good test, and it'll probably be a fun evening too. Johnsburg's home opener, first game since that Phillips game up there. I'm going to pick Johnsburg.
I'm going to take Johnsburg as well. And now we have the Plano Reapers coming up to Harvard and Dan Horn Field to visit the Hornets. That's a tougher game to pick than I thought it was going to be last week.
Yeah, I know. After seeing what just happened to Plano, you know, you start to have your doubts. I don't know. A 70-0 is a bad loss, but Harvard was facing a not a very good Oregon team. It was unable to put points on the board against them. I'm going to have to go with Plano. I don't particularly feel good about it.
Yeah, I don't know which way to go either. Like you said, Plano didn't, 70-0. That's hard to pick a team coming off a 70-0 loss. I'll pick Harvard. I'll go for it.
You know, I'm looking at last year, Johnsburg was better. Harvard, I don't think, was as good. And they didn't lose by 70-0. I don't know what the score was, but I don't think it was that bad. Do you remember? I'm not sure what that
I'm not sure.
The Johnsburg Harvard score was. I'm going to pick Harvard. I'm just going to go. I'm going to go ahead and pick the Hornets in this one. I know, Kyle, I'm a homer. Maybe the best game of the week. Prairie Ridge at Huntley. Huntley may sneak into the 8A top 10 this week, right?
Yeah, I expect them to make it in the top 10.
They
were 11 last week. I think I voted them number 8 in my poll this week.
I think that's pretty fair.
Joe, you're going to be at this game, aren't you?
What are you expecting? I'm pretty excited about this. I think I'll see more points out of Prairie Ridge this week just because, like we talked about before, the familiarity and Cary Grove knowing how to stop the option better. But then, Prairie Ridge is going to have to stop. They're going to have to try to slow down Eric Mooney. So I think this is going to be fun. Probably the two best players in our area with Mooney and Samson Evans.
Yeah, it probably is. And it'll definitely be a different test for the Prairie Ridge defense than going up against, the option like Cary Grove. I'm going to pick Prairie Ridge because I think, until they lose a game, I'm going to keep picking Prairie Ridge.
Man, I really want to take Huntley in this game. I really, really do like that offense. The problem is they weren't able to stop Jacob's running attack, and if they can't stop Jacob's running attack, I'm not sure they're going to be able to stop Prairie Ridge's running attack, so I'm going to have to go with PR.
That's a solid analysis. I like the way you're thinking. I'm going with PR as well. Hampshire at Burlington Central. Hampshire has a chance to go to 2-0 here.
They do. Burlington Central lost to Byron, I believe.
Yes.
One.
Quality program,
it
though.
It is a ranked 3A team, yes.
This could be a good game. I'm going to pick Hampshire. I think they looked good. We'll see, how they adjust with Burlington Central and what different challenges that brings as compared to Dundee Crown.
Burlington Central only 3 wins last year. Byron actually handled them pretty easily. I like that Byron team a lot. They've been solid for a long time. And given that, even though I think Hampshire's going to have its struggles in the FEC, going into a non-conference matchup here, I think that Hampshire's going to come away with a win.
I like Hampshire too. I think Burlington's going to be better because the sophomores last year won the KRC. It was the only team that beat Richmond. But I'm picking Hampshire in this game. Jacobs at Dundee Crown, a big D300 rivalry.
Yeah. I think Jacobs is going to come. They were so close last week. I think they'll handle this one pretty easily.
Yeah, I really was impressed with Jacobs to the point to where I know they're going to fall out of the 7A top 10. They were ranked number 10 this past week. But I think you're going to see them back in there pretty soon.
Yep, I'm going with Jacobs as well. Then we have the old 155 rivalry, Crystal Lake Central at Crystal Lake South. Sean, you'll get to see that game. That looks like that could be a pretty competitive ball game.
Yeah, I'm interested to see, you know, we talked about Central in their win over Grant. I'm interested to see them in person and interested to see what South, you know, they talked about these adjustments they got to make. Interested to see, you know, what it looks like with another week of practice. I'm going to go with Central as my pick only because they won their game last week and, you know, that's a promising start.
Yeah, until we see South have some improvement, I can't pick them the way they played last week. I'm going with Central.
Yeah, I like the experienced quarterback, Jake Staples, who started some as a sophomore, and you just can't beat that experience. McHenry goes to Al Boer Field to take on Cary Grove.
Yeah, this we'll see McHenry against, you know, one of the big dogs this week, and it'll be interesting to see how they handle that. I know last year I covered this game. It was at McHenry, and they didn't handle it very well. They lost pretty badly. I'm going to pick Cary Grove just because after what we saw from their defense last week against Prairie Ridge, but I definitely got my eye on this game.
Yeah, I'll be heading over to this game this week, and I think I might be in line for another good one. I think it's probably going to be a touchdown game. I think Cary Grove's probably going to have the experience to come out on top here. But I think McHenry's going to give them everything.
I'm going to go with Cary Grove as well, just because of the tradition and that defense looked really good last week against an excellent team. Lake Forest Academy, the Caxies, which is a name for the sound a frog makes. A little bit of trivia for you there. Ribbit. That's what a Caxie is.
Well, now we know.
I'm getting crickets here. Lake Forest Academy at Alden Hebron.
Lake Forest Academy is 1-0. They beat Elkhart Lake Glen Beulah out of Wisconsin.
Yeah, well, how much? What did that tell you?
I don't know, but it tells me that they're 1-0. You know, Alden Hebron showed some good things last week, at least based on the score and the stats that we got. I'll pick the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, until we have kind of a better basis to go on here for eight-man football, I'll go ahead and take the Giants. Why
not? I will too. And we have Woodstock North going to Antioch. Antioch was I believe, number one seed in 6A last year. Is that right?
I don't know.
They were number one or two seed. Maybe they were the two seed. Prairie Ridge was the one, and they were the two, I believe, maybe.
Yes,
I know
they went 10-1 last year, so they had to be near the top. I'm not sure what seed they were, but they were near the top.
I think they were two. We thought Cary Grove was going to get the two, and I think Antioch, maybe that's what it was. But anyway, so Woodstock North going to Antioch, and North now, after that loss, you know, doesn't want to fall to 0-2.
No, they you know, they don't need a win, but, you know, obviously it would help. Antioch won their game last week against Tremper High from Kenosha, Wisconsin. I don't know anything about them. I don't know what that win tells you, but they're 1-0. We'll have to see what adjustments Woodstock North makes. I'll pick the Thunder.
After that loss last week, I can't take the Thunder going on the road against a playoff team, so I'm taking Antioch.
I'm going to take the Thunder, too. I have a feeling that Westosha Central team was pretty good. That quarterback sounded like he was real tough. So I'll say that the Thunder bounces back here. So, well, that'll do it for this.
You're actually forgetting a game. We have a Saturday game.
I missed one.
Yeah, Woodstock.
Oh, I'm sorry. Man, thanks for correcting me.
Good thing you noticed that, Kyle, because I was all like, oh, we're done. Okay.
Woodstock is Mount Vernon, right? Mount Vernon in Urbana.
It's a 7:30 game at Urbana High School against Mount Vernon, which was 0-9 last year and lost its
– They lost 42-6 to Taylorville.
Yes. Yeah, Taylorville is a very good squad, though. So, I mean, still, it's not a promising start to their season.
Yeah. So
– I'll take the Blue Streaks.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm taking the Blue Streaks here. I'm not going to read too much into them losing to Taylorville 42-6. Mount Vernon coming off an 0-9 season and scoring 6 points in an opener doesn't exactly make me think that they're going to go up to Urbana and be able to beat Woodstock.
Yeah, no, I will take the Blue Streaks as well. I like what they did last week. I think Gary Westside had a pretty small roster, so they were a little outmanned, but Woodstock got the job done. And I think they might go to 2-0 here, so. All right. Well, thanks a lot for listening this week, and thanks to Buffalo Wild Wings, our sponsor in Algonquin and Crystal Lake, and we will see you next week.